Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paul Talk on UCC's 98.3 FM. My name's Alice, and I'm here with
Kira.
And we're going to talk today about all things politics. Paul Talk, if you're tuning in for the first time, is UCC's Government and Politics Society radio show. GovPol is a politically neutral society. We aim to promote political participation on campus. But today we will be giving our opinions, but we're not affiliating them with the society. Just a warning.
Shocker.
And Kira is my friend from GovPol, second year GovPol student, just like myself. So we're extremely, extremely qualified.
Oh, yeah.
Not.
All the knowledge.
All the knowledge of 2 years of not going to lectures. So I think today we're going to talk about maybe the results of the referendum, the Paddy's Day, the visits to the US, maybe a bit about the EU and a bit about AI. I think first maybe we might play a song and then we can get into it.
Yeah.
Fab. So I'm going to play Like Real People Do by Hozier.
Choose what I believe. Hold on.
was before my flight. Luck be on my side tonight. You're the reason that I feel so strong.
and we have been joined by another host. We saw Caitlin passing in the window, so we forced her to come inside.
I swear to God, I live here now.
You do. We were on last week, and we'll probably be on another week.
And I'm going to be on Friday again.
IDK this Politics.
Just, yeah, no, this is just my new house.
And I think Kira might go on IDK Politics at some point.
To be decided. Depends on schedule.
Are you just really loyal to Paul Talk?
Pre-booked.
Yeah, you're booked and busy. That's why I got you in here.
Exactly. Yeah. Clear the whole schedule for this.
Oh, yeah. I'm very lucky that way.
You can pay me later.
I have no money. I think we might discuss the referendum for a little bit.
Oh, I thought we were over this, but I guess not.
No. Me and Caitlin last week discussed misinformation about the referendum in the lead up to the vote. Well, the vote is in and we have our results here. I'll state what the results are in the breakdown, and then we might get into what we think and why we think it's like turned out this way. So just to note, voter turnout was at 44.4%, which is very low.
Extremely low. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the family referendum, which was the first referendum, last week we predicted a yes-no vote. Turns out it was a no-no vote.
It's the most shocking.
The most shocking turn of events. The family referendum won with the no vote by 67.7%, and then 32.3% of people voted yes. And on the care referendum, 73.9% of people voted no and 26.1% voted yes. These are like the highest margin of no votes to have happened. It's like a historical thing. There's been no referendum passed with that like extreme of a one-sided vote. It's kind of crazy.
It's very embarrassing for the government, to be honest.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they tried to do cover up immediately when the votes started coming in straight nose. It was very humorous how scared they were.
Yeah. But like, not only was the turnout so shocking, the like vote margin was so extreme. I feel like it was just very much an anti-government vote.
It was. I think most people, like, well, from what I've seen on TikTok and all that, like, please, lads, stop posting TikToks in the referendum and just not doing the right thing, because the amount of misinformation, I think from what I've seen on TikTok and what's coming up on my For You page, is that a lot of people are just, they just hate the government, which is fair. If you hate the government, you hate the government. Like, whatever.
Yeah, you're entitled to
but
your opinion.
Just because the government says something, just don't disagree with them for the sake of disagreeing with them.
Yeah.
Because, like, at the end of the day, you need to do what's best for the country. You need to do what's best for yourself.
Like, especially in terms of a referendum, that it's like altering the constitution. Yeah. Like, this government is gone in the next year. Like,
and it's your life. So just do a little bit more research. And just, if you disagree with the government, you disagree with the government. But
I mean, I was on TikTok as well and saw plenty of TikToks that just completely spread misinformation about the referendum. They received like thousands and thousands of likes, thousands and thousands of comments, and a load of the comments were no, 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 vote no because of this, vote no because of that. And I did become a bit of a Karen and I commented on one or two, trying to clear up misinformation. It was a very much a low point for me. Like,
yeah, I was like, I couldn't. I had to block everyone that said
my sister found anything. One of my comments and she sent me the TikTok and she was like, Alice, this is sad. I was like, yeah.
I think people don't realize how expensive a referendum is, and it's not just a whim that the government's doing. It's like a genuine consideration that's been put in for years, that we've had citizens assemblies on. This has been in the works for the bones of a decade, and people just think it's like, yeah, the government just want to do this on a once off.
Yeah, I suppose a load of people's argument has been, I don't understand it, or it's not giving me what I want, so I'm voting no, so they have to do it again. I'm like, this won't happen for another 10 years.
Yeah, by the looks of it now, especially with the voter turnout, the results, they're not rerunning it.
Did you see that Sinn Féin had originally said, come out and said they would, if the referendum failed, if they got into government, they would rerun it with new wording. And after the extreme vote no, they've come out saying they're not rerunning the referendum if they get voted in, because obviously they can tell that's not what people want.
No, it's not. But like, is it not what people want because the right information wasn't put out?
Completely not.
The government, all they said was yes, yes, and then left it at that.
It wasn't promoted enough and it allowed misinformation to completely just spread.
Exactly. Like, headlines everywhere about, especially because the women aspect is so great, and
yeah, I feel like they didn't get behind it enough. I suppose maybe they're saving their money for June.
Maybe.
To go on the campaign trail.
Yeah. No, it's
going to need a lot of money for June.
It's not looking good.
I know that next year is supposed to be the general election, but after this turnout with the referendum, I would not be surprised if they call an early general.
I've seen, and TikTok, yeah. It seems like TikTok's my main source at this point, but there is this massive movement on TikTok at the moment calling for an election. So there's this petition going around.
TikTok?
On TikTok, yeah. I saw it from one. I was like, Jesus, the people who are signing this, I don't know.
I don't know, do people understand what like calling for an election means? Like, we won't have different results with any other government.
And I think a petition as well to call an election, the government are going to be allergic to that idea because obviously the election they want called is an anti-government election. So I don't know. I feel like they'll wait for the budget, give us a nice-ish budget to try persuade us to vote for them again, and
they
then call it.
They want to try really, really hard.
We all better get €1,000 in our bank accounts personally as a gift. Bribes.
I think this will definitely fuel, especially with the no referendum, it will fuel the populist side in Ireland further.
How do you think this will affect the European and local elections?
For lack of a better word, we're screwed.
I see a lot of, again, TikTok. I see there's this candidate for local elections, and I feel like a lot of people who are running in the local elections now are using the referendum to their advantage, saying no and vote for me because I voted no, and I'm kind of like,
yeah. Did you see the Fianna Fáil senator Lisa Chambers? She campaigned for yes and came out after the referendum saying she voted no, but she said she only campaigned one time for yes, as if that's an excuse.
Yeah.
Radcliffe took a jab at her in a speech he made in Boston, saying that what he campaigns for is what he votes for, and what he promotes is what he votes for, which
is
something you can respect.
Yeah, to be fair, he did take full accountability and responsibility.
He did.
For the whole thing. And that's hard. Because the whole country is just hating on the government right now, and like that all ends with Leo, as he is the Taoiseach. So to take responsibility and accountability is a huge step. And I think it's just the fact that like everyone's blaming everyone in the government. Like all parties are blaming each other. Like there's calls
Seems like
for,
a breakdown in the coalition kind of thing.
Yeah, there's calls for Minister Roger O'Gorman to resign. Like, so I think what they need to do is just settle the whole thing now.
And Lisa Chambers, she's a candidate for the EU election. Do you think she's just trying to pool together votes because she saw the no was so popular?
What constituency is she?
She is Midwest.
So like
Midwest North, is that the Midwest East or the mid?
Yeah, so
yeah, I'm not good with my constituencies.
Look at the breakdown of the results of the election, not the election, the referendum, my apologies. It was only South Dublin that had an over 50% rate that said
Dunleary
yes.
Dunleary was the only constituency.
Everything else was a below 40. So I'm not surprised she's trying to get the no voters because that's the only way she's going to get votes. If she has the record of saying yes, that's her in total electorate like going against her.
Yeah. And in Dunleary, it only passed by 255 votes. So it wasn't even like an extreme margin.
That is insane.
That's very close. So I feel like she's trying to
throw a fast one.
Yeah.
Cover herself.
But it's kind of backfiring on her, if anything, really.
I mean, if you're fair enough at the start for campaigning for a yes, and then you decide to vote no, come out before that and say that you've changed your mind, back yourself.
Yeah, or even before you go campaigning, get out and get yourself educated on what you're actually campaigning for. Like, before you can go out and promote, this is why you should vote this, know what you're speaking about.
Yeah, I do think a lot more information could have been put out before by the government.
Completely.
Especially, like a lot of people just not knowing. I think is, what is it? Vote no if you don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a massive motivator.
I think that's probably, if it wasn't like that, then it probably would have been closer. But if people don't know what they're on about, then they're going to vote no.
Yeah.
I'd do the same, like if I didn't know what I was talking about.
Because the wording for the constitution, it's like it's vague because it's meant to be.
Yeah. It's legal. It has to be vague.
It's legal wording and it's law. And none of us are solicitors. The average person doesn't read and interpret law on a daily basis. So they shouldn't be expected to read the new definitions and completely understand them exactly. from the get-go. It needs to be carefully outlined to them and explained for them to be able to trust it.
And sure, it even took us ages to finally understand, especially, I think what really clarified it for us was the Electoral Commission coming.
Yes,
to
definitely. Mm-hmm.
They explained it.
Rhea Baker was the chair of the Electoral Commission, for anyone who doesn't know, and sits in the Supreme Court, and she was so interesting.
Yeah,
she really kind of cleared up, loads of people asked different questions, and she just really outlined it perfectly.
And she explained it in a way where it wasn't opinionated.
Yeah, it was unbiased.
It was unbiased. You could form what you needed to out of it, but it was very insightful, and I feel like they tried so hard, the Electoral Commission. I think
they did.
They tried hard in the government to put out information. There.
Completely. And they're not on such as a large platform as the government.
No, and they should be.
Completely.
And I can't wait to read the report. So excited.
Yeah, that's going to be the best That's going to be the best.
I'm really excited to see the breakdown of the age groups.
Oh, this is just exciting. I forgot this exists.
I'm wondering how many young people actually got out there and voted.
Yeah, not a lot.
They all did because they voted no off TikTok.
Yeah. I'm wondering what was the main age group? What was the main motivators?
Like, I don't know if you remember from class on like Friday that like everyone in our course said they were going to vote.
I wasn't at class Friday. I was voting.
Yes, you were voting. You were doing the active voting. But like, I went home then that weekend and none of my friends or co-workers voted.
You see, we live in such a bubble because like we're surrounded by people who are really invested in politics, study it, and that like when our lecturer asked who here is voting today, and the class is about 40 people, everyone put up their hand. If you went into a random lecturer in UCC and you asked that question, you wouldn't get such a high margin of people in the room saying that.
I presume you'd get like 5.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Like, when I went to vote, the hall was dead.
The whole school was empty. I've never seen a school.
It was really anticlimactic because, like, I was like, oh, yes, first time voting, let's get in there. And it was just, like, dead quiet.
Yeah, I
really depressing.
When I was going to vote on Friday and I was walking to where I needed to vote and I met this woman from home there and she was like, I'm still so confused. I don't know. I literally don't know what's going on. So I stood there and I explained the whole thing. And do you know what? And she came over to the next day. She's like, I think I did the right thing. And I was like, great.
Yeah, I feel like I explained the referendum to a lot of people, but there comes a point where you don't want to sound patronizing and you don't want to sound preachy because you don't want to be like, this is why I'm voting this way. You want to like present them with the facts to make their own opinion, but you don't want them to like feel like you're patronizing them in a way.
Yeah.
But like when people don't know what they're talking about, it feels like a moral obligation to explain it.
Yeah. I think it's hard to explain something without sounding so opinionated.
Yeah, especially when we're so passionate on the issue.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. I didn't realise how passionate we were until I kept seeing like misinformation being spread, like everything. I had to delete the TikTok.
I was following the results like it was a sports match. I was like under the counter at work, like checking what like constituency had like brought out their results. Yeah. And I was like, this is the saddest like part of my life ever, but I'm like so invested.
And what upset me after the referendum happened, after like the voting took place, is a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, a handful of people came up to me and asked me, oh, Alice, what did you vote? And I voted yes. And I said this and I got a variety of reactions being like, oh my God, why did you vote yes? And I was like, oh, and like, I give my opinion of why I voted yes, respectfully, I would like to think.
Yeah.
I voted no. And then they would proceed to tell me the most massive misinformation. Like,
I got a few there as well.
The family referendum is giving money to the refugees. And I was just standing there like, no, it's not.
Or like, even the women one, and they're like, oh, they're trying to take women's rights away.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, they're trying to remove the women being the home place. Like, after people worked so hard to get out of the home. But yeah, it's like the government were like, oh, look, we'll try and give you a gender neutral kind of concept to replace these terms. And the people were like, yeah, no thanks. And
it was kind of frustrating because it was when it was after the referendum had taken place, because at that point, everyone had voted. So you couldn't clear up the misinformation.
Yeah, no.
The damage was already done at that point.
I came to like a really good conclusion at the weekend. about like the referendum and like how people are so passionate about keeping like the old constitution. The constitution was written about by a priest, like a bishop actually.
Yeah.
And a man who wanted to piss off the British. Like that's why we have the Irish constitution. Like De Valera just wanted to piss off the British.
Completely.
And then they also wanted to do this to make sure women would like, that article like, is it 41, the one about the women in the home?
41.2, yeah.
So that was used to make sure that women quit their jobs after getting married so they would remain at home.
Yeah.
Like, it has a very not great history for women in Ireland. So the fact that women are so passionate about keeping it is kind of...
It's very confusing, I think.
Yeah.
But like, I'm kind of trying to think, the only reason they're trying to keep that in the constitution is because they want to disagree with the government so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I got a load of... Oh, we've worked so hard for our rights to vote. We've worked so hard to like gain equality. Yet you want to keep that part of the constitution in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I think one of the main things with misinformation in regards to this referendum is people thought that this amendment in the constitution protected mothers. In no way did this article have any effect in mothers' lives. They were saying, oh, it protects our right to stay at home with our kids. The wording actually was saying, the government will try to make sure you can do that.
They will endeavour to do that.
Yeah, endeavour. So the government has never had the responsibility to make sure that's a possibility. And the article has never been used in court to like fight for that right, because it's, you can't stand with just that article.
No.
And I think that was the main thing people got wrong.
Yeah, no, it's, it'll be interesting to see how other referendums go. Will it be, as Kira said, just an angerment to the government? Will it just be, no, screw it, the government's wrong? Mm. Or will we actually have maybe potentially more educated voters in the future?
I think people have started to realise, with this referendum, I think it's highlighted a massive issue with how social media plays a role in politics nowadays. Obviously, it's kind of a new area.
It plays a huge role. Like,
completely.
Everything you see is just, oh, I just can't. That's, I just can't do it.
I think, well, we maybe put on a song and then we might get into another topic.
Just to calm us.
Yeah, we'll put on a Zen song just so we don't get too worked up about it.
We might light a candle in here just to do a meditation.
We don't want to lose all our listeners as well, being like, okay, we get it.
Bear in mind, this is only like our opinion as well. Like, if you voted no, you voted no. If you voted yes, you voted yes.
I just want people to vote, honestly.
Yeah, I just want people to vote.
And like, if you've done your information, like, if you researched everything and you still think that voting no suits you,
then I can respect that. Fair.
But you also need to respect both sides of the thing. And, like, just because someone voted yes, and you don't agree with that.
Yeah, I have gotten a lot of stick about voting yes.
Like, go away, thanks very much.
Yeah, just vote and then get back to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we'll play... I'm using Caitlin's playlist. I'm such a copycat stealer. This should be, like, copyrighted. I'm going to play four... Emma by, I'm going to butcher this, Bonavir?
Oh my God.
Maybe.
Anyway, that's what we're playing.
We'll be right back.
Okay, and we're back. And I think we're going to talk a bit about AI.
Yeah, so Google's actually started reprogramming its AI chatbot Gemini to no longer be able to talk about elections out of an abundance of caution.
Wow.
So if you ask this chatbot, lads, I can't talk, Gemini, about elections or anything voting related, you'll now be told to Google it, which is ironic.
Really?
So it's the latest attempt to stop AI manipulating voters and voting and stuff like that.
That's brilliant.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. Because AI is so powerful now, it's actually insane.
The AI in the American election at the moment is like an actual...
Really?
Oh, it's like, it's insane how much is being manipulated and how well it's being manipulated.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching a video about Trump the other day and I was like, it had to be AI. It had to be. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I was like, in my head, I was like, there's no way this is real. Because there is so much fake out there.
Anytime I see AI on social media, I think I'm just overly cautious of it. And like if I see on TikTok, they now have, which I think is great, they have little labels at the bottom of the TikTok saying if it's like AI generated.
Really?
Or like if there's been AI used involved. And I'm so scared of AI that I just scroll past immediately. Yeah. I don't interact. I'm like, definitely. I don't know. I'm afraid of the power AI has.
Yeah, especially with like, I think there's like 50 countries where elections are being held this year.
Yeah.
They need to hold in it like.
Completely. I think the internet is such a powerful tool that, you know, governments and people don't realise how influential it is and how dangerous it is as a tool of manipulation.
No, AI is going to have... AI has, like, the strongest hold on all governments, parliamentary systems, everywhere. The EU is obsessed with it at the moment and they're trying to pass as much AI bills before the next election, and every government has a great fear of it.
Yeah, the EU is kind of ahead of the game on things like this. I think governments... particularly, obviously, European governments kind of need to do a bit of catching up at this point. The EU introduced yesterday rules about transparency regarding political advertising, which is kind of in the same realm now as this whole Google's AI. It's basically what you have, the new regulations say that you have to clearly mark political advertisements, so, and also foreign governments and third country parties aren't allowed advertise in the EU 3 months before an election or a referendum in the EU, which is really interesting. It's to like combat international interference in our elections.
That is really interesting. So like you're stating that like countries like the US can't advertise in Europe.
Yeah, I'll get the exact wording. It says third country sponsors aren't allowed advertise politically. Like they can do obviously, you know, anything else.
Coke but won't stop advertising.
No, they can all advertise, but political advertisements from third party sponsors stop 3 months before any election or referendum in the EU.
That is so good.
Now this won't come into force till 2025.
Of course. But
it's a step in the right direction because the EU have a massive fear of Russian interference in especially our upcoming election in June, the EU election.
Yeah.
It's very, it's scary. It's scary to see how scared they are.
Yeah, no, honestly,
terrifying.
Yeah, manipulation with AI and like third parties are like, is growing, I feel like, or have we become more aware of it? I know third party manipulation has always been a severe thing with government elections, but AI is the new third party.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And it's the one you can't detect.
Yeah, especially like, because AI is getting, it's so good. Okay, you can't deny it.
It's so good.
It's so handy, but then again, like, it's for like a human eye, how are we meant to distinguish what's real and what's not real?
Yeah. Like, especially as it gets stronger, because it's kind of only in the beginning.
It's in the beginning stages, and it's already so powerful.
So powerful.
And if anyone wants an example of like public use of AI, there was a picture sent out by the royal family this week. But that was just shocking AI. Oh, that was just like,
why am I so obsessed with the Kate Middleton scandal?
Middleton, if you can hear us, please tell us you're okay.
I'm honestly concerned for her because I feel like I've become a conspiracy theorist or something. I'm watching so many TikToks about it. Like,
again,
where is she?
Misinformation. Like, some people think she's getting plastic surgery. Maybe she is. We don't know.
But that's the whole thing. Like, the AP is a source of information and they provide images. and they have called a death notice or a kill notice on the picture so they can't be broadcasted. Yeah. And that's the thing, it's false information, it's use of manipulation of the public through AI. So yeah.
It's crazy.
I think it's so funny as well, sorry, going back to Kate Middleton, that she posted the picture, was it for Mother's Day, I think?
Yeah, it was for Mother's Day.
And obviously people picked up
on the Photoshop.
And then she had to come out and be like, yeah, I was actually experimenting with Photoshop.
And I was like, to see
how it worked.
Yeah.
So sorry for that.
I've seen jokes like saying, oh, Kate Middleton is just like practicing her new graphic design degree. Yeah. And we all hated on her. Like,
she was doing her exams. Okay, that's where she was.
Yeah, she's busy. Like,
the Washington Post TikTok has a great skit like on that, and I'm like, it's just so good. It's just like, yeah, Prince William took the photo, and it's like, how'd you turn on the camera?
And do we really think Kate Middleton then went home and sat down at her computer and was photoshopping her photo of her kids and then got on social media saying, sorry guys, I'm just new to graphic design, don't kill me, like,
it's so funny.
When she hasn't been spotted in months. But now I'm starting to sound like a conspiracy theorist. Like, I'm spreading misinformation.
I just hope that she's okay.
I hope she's doing okay.
I hope she gets better graphic design.
Yeah. Genuinely.
I mean, hope she gets,
she's causing scandal. Yeah.
I mean, she has enough money to pay for the best, so.
Yeah. She exactly. can pay someone to do this. Why is the girl trying?
And it's such a high quality photo. Yeah, it's such a high quality photo as well. Do we really believe William took it?
Oh.
Like, no, the whole thing is just bizarre.
I saw something that people realized the top she was wearing doesn't come in black. Like,
oh, really?
The people went that deep diving. They're like, yeah, like
people are worried.
It was like, yeah, the zip and the hands, but that top doesn't come in black.
And I suppose it's not the royal family's first Photoshop fail. They've had countless. It's nothing new.
But
with
this is
them.
Just an AI version. It looks AI.
I think it was AI.
Definitely.
Yeah. Maybe they wanted us to start talking about it. That's why they did it.
Maybe they're trying to promote them. I saw a conspiracy theory about this, that the royal family are just like, you know, falling behind in the press and they want to be talked about.
Yeah.
And I was kind of watching it. You know, you have to take all these conspiracy theories with a grain of salt.
They kind of went downhill.
They're just
after
a bit of interesting.
Lizzie passed. But I think at this stage, we just need. What? The Duchess? Is she the Duchess of Wales?
Princess of Wales?
Princess of Wales, is she? She is. She's the Princess of Wales.
I think, I think
Charles just need her to come out into the balcony.
Wave
and say that she's okay.
Or just wave and
there was that room. There was that picture of her in a car, and it was like debunked that it wasn't her. And
that was
her mother driving the car, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe it was her sister, Photoshop or something. I don't know. Like, it's just the whole thing is so strange.
Yeah,
the press will really go for anything for the royals. Like, they will do anything to get.
I'm kind of just fascinated by the whole royal family and just how they are. Who they are on their pedestal.
Unless they're like trying to prepare her even further because King Charles is sick now.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But, maybe she just had like a mental breakdown or something. She's not doing well.
Lots of people have said that.
Yeah.
I mean, she's under a lot of stress.
She
like.
Is. She would be. And loads of people think she's getting.
We won't say.
Yeah.
Bleep.
Yeah. Bleep. Yeah.
That went kind of down a rabbit hole, but anyway.
Yeah. It's a piece of AI that's being, potentially a piece of AI that's being broadcasted to everyone, and it's a good wake-up call for everyone.
Yeah, and I feel like everyone loves a bit of scandal as well, especially in Ireland.
Everyone loves a bit of drama. Loves
a bit of gossip, especially when it's about the royal family. Mm. I feel like we're in a position in Ireland where we just look over and laugh at like impending doom in the UK. Yeah. We're just like, oh, sucks for you.
But isn't it like kind of scary as well that like the royal family are using AI?
Yeah,
it is. You know, completely.
Like,
I don't know, the situation over there is not ideal.
No. And like AI has been used to manipulate elections before. Like in Slovakia, the election, like 2 days before the election last year, a faked audio recording of one of the candidates and a journalist discussing how to rig the election. It was flagged like immediately, but still. They lost the election to that. Like, they did lose.
Oh my God.
It's
so dangerous. I suppose not even in elections, but in everyday life. I suppose AI, for the way that you can now generate like realistic image and videos, like the damage that can do, especially to women, like the kind of videos that can be created and put online is so dangerous.
No, the UK parliaments have been absolutely like destroyed with the use of AI. Like there are so many false videos of Starmer and Sunak and false audios of like the most horrendous stuff that you're like, how did like someone make this and like get it so far to the press, though it is evidently fake?
And because this kind of stuff is so new, like AI and social media's role in like politics, they're so unregulated that it's like you can get online and post absolutely anything, and you can do so much damage with these kind of like AI posts that it's just scary. It's like living in the dark ages again. Like it's just,
I think they need to like just be careful.
Honestly, sometimes I feel like we need to delete the internet.
I
just think, lads, I know it's been great, but let's just go back to pen and paper.
It was fun while it lasted.
Messenger pigeon.
I'm scared now.
I'm scared.
It's getting to the point where, like, I genuinely think robots could take over.
Yeah, it's like, you know, all those sci-fi movies where robots take over and it's a zombie apocalypse and we're all in hiding. That is how it's going to turn out.
Yeah. I mean, look, AI has benefits. Like, it does.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But I think the companies who own the AI, because there's so many different types of AI now. There's not just one AI. There's loads. I think companies like that just need to restrict and make sure what they're doing is ethical and isn't going to harm anyone.
Because in the end of the day, these companies' main goals is profit and innovation. It's never the like well-being ethics and morals, like, because that is the world we live in. Like, so they're not thinking with the best interest of the consumer in mind, which is like, that's how, you know, capitalism works. It's economics, like, which is understandable, but it's like there needs to be some rules in place that like ensures like we as citizens and as human beings are protected from these kind of dangers.
Maybe this should be a referendum. Put this in our constitution.
I'm afraid of how another referendum will go. I don't think
we need to be a referendum for a while now.
I'm scared.
They won't want it for November. And the stupidest, not the stupidest referendum, but I know people are going to find this stupid. There is word that we'll have a referendum on joining the patents community.
I've heard about this, actually.
And I know people are just not going to show up. We're definitely not making threshold on that one.
No.
That means that we'd all in the EU have collective share of design plans. So, you know, when you get a patent on something, that would be a collective community in the EU instead of having like Switzerland, Ireland and the US as the main patent countries.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. But I know no one's going to show up.
No, I think we need a break from referendums for the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, there needs to be, we need to do some work.
and research.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
And there's, mass education.
While the government have been under major fire with the referendum, I suppose I'm just looking at the time, we could quickly mention the fire they've been under over St. Patrick's Day, the visit to Biden.
Yes, yes.
What are we thinking?
There's also the chaos now with that event in Texas.
Yes.
Yeah. So
which the Minister of...
Yes, Catherine Martin.
Culture.
Thank you.
Yes.
I was going to say tourism, but I'm not too sure if that was...
Tourism, culture.
She's a lot of roles.
Yeah.
She keeps going.
I mean, Catherine Martin has been under fire recently over her whole RTE scandal, and now she's in the limelight again over... So it's the South by Southwest Festival in Austin. It is apparently being funded by the RTX Corporation, which sponsored the US Army and also provide weapons to the Israeli government. So many Irish artists like Gavin James, Kneecap, Soda Blonde, and many more, all actually of the Irish artists as of yesterday, have pulled out of the festival in defiance and protest against, you know, the genocide in Gaza. And, you know, they're all being, you know, taking a pro-Palestinian stance. Minister Catherine Martin is still going ahead with her visit to the festival, and it has become quite controversial. People are very against it, as they are against Radker's visit to Biden in Washington.
Is it actually going ahead?
Yeah,
it's going ahead.
Yeah.
It's not great. For a country that's been so, like, forward with its views on most other things, the fact that we're willing to fall to these is not great.
Yeah, and I think the government have been under so much pressure by people since the referendum, showing how unpopular they are. They could really do something to try to gain back popularity.
I mean, huge respect to all those artists.
Completely. Because they're facing a major money loss.
Exactly.
Yeah, and like, it's like a big opportunity, that kind of festival for them.
It's a major opportunity. Like, playing in any festival, like, just to get your music out there, to turn that down is just...
You know, it's a sacrifice. Mm.
Yeah, and it shows character as well. And
it does. Yeah. It does, definitely.
Yeah, and I think the Taoiseach going to visit the president is just... It's funny because he said that he's going, but he's not. He doesn't want to. What did he say? Tell him off. He doesn't want to tell the president off.
I think our Taoiseach isn't in any position to tell Biden off anyway.
He said that he'll try and slip it in there about the stance on the whole war.
I know this might sound naive, but I think if anyone could have a stance of like genuinely like getting through to Biden, it would be the Ireland. Like, Biden is so connected to the Irish opinion, the Irish culture. Like,
yeah, that is true.
There is a small part that maybe, I know Biden can't do anything, it's the stance of the US, but like at the same time,
well, he is their president.
It would reflect well if it was noted that Ireland did not agree with the US.
Yeah, I think that is a major argument for a lot of people saying, oh, Fradkin can go over and use the time to advocate for Palestine, but he's kind of come out saying he's not actually
going
to do that.
Well, he said he'll try.
Try
he'll
is
endeavor to do it.
He will he's not going to strive. He's going to endeavor.
Yeah. But realistically, it's
he's going over there to shake hands and suck up to Biden.
He's going over there to take pictures and have some
fights. Yeah, exactly. Chill. And I mean, it's not exactly a good look. Like, is that what we want to be associated with?
I mean, I understand the fact that, like, we shouldn't burn our bridges.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they have different views, different opinions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't burn bridges. But, like, I think he could at least set just some, like, a day or two just to talk about the whole thing and, like, try and reach some sort of...
If he was going thing. And he was saying, I'm going over there and I'm advocating for Palestine and what's going on,
but
I'd be like, okay, I can respect that, but he's not. So it's just kind of disheartening to see that we're so unwilling.
I feel like he's just going to go over and they're going to shake hands and he goes, oh, do you want to talk about the thing? And then he's going to be like, he's like, great.
Because Biden has so much other political factors, like within the US, playing into his support for Israel, that I don't necessarily know would Varadkar as a person be able to convince him of anything else. Like, I'm sure Biden is aware of what is happening in Palestine, but it's just, you know, it's the money aspect, the funding that Israeli companies give to members of Congress and to Biden's campaigns and the ties they have to the Israeli government. It's like, I don't think that's something Varadkar can break down in a day of a visit.
I think the whole thing about the Irish bands pulling out has more of an impact and more of an effect than the Taoiseach going over there at all.
Completely.
Especially on the younger generations, like our generations, it will be that would recognise Gavin James isn't playing, or like Gavin James
name
is on his Instagram. Like, but that's our age, and I think it will have a better effect, but like I think it will have a better outcome than our Minister of Tourism going, because I think people will recognise our artists.
What is she going to do as well?
Why is she going?
She was originally going because it was like there was the tribute to like Irish artists, which, you know, obviously all the Irish artists were playing and they were highlighting Irish people on Paddy's Day. But now all the Irish artists have pulled out. It's like, what is even the point of having
her there?
She's
just a random woman now in Texas.
None of them are going to recognize her. Like, what's her point? She's not a celebrity or anything.
I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't recognize her if she stood in front of me.
The only reason I recognize her now is because I saw her on the news over her RTE scandal.
Especially with all that, you think that she wouldn't want to anger the public anymore.
I suppose she's staying in line with the coalition, but like if she wants to be re-elected, I suppose she'd really want to be fighting the idea of going.
Yeah
even TD Holly Cairns is even calling for a boycott.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Massively. It's just, and sure, UCC had a walkout on Monday.
I think it was it 400? 200, 400 people?
400 people, in the aims of being, you know, supporting the Palestinian cause and also calling for Varadkar to boycott visiting Biden.
And even some people walked on the quad as well.
A lot of people walked on the quad.
Yeah.
My heart
broke a big stance
for them. You know they're serious when they walk in the quad.
Like, they could be failing college, but
they'll do it for Palestine.
And I respect that.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see what happens on Paddy's Day, how the visits go down, and what public reaction is to it.
Yeah.
I don't know, I feel like...
I wonder, will this affect the Irish vote in the US?
Yeah, that's actually interesting. I don't know.
That's a very good point, Kate.
Yeah.
Mm, that is interesting.
If But yeah, it's just interesting to see because the Irish voters in the US are always such a big demographic that the president's trying to get hold of.
Yeah.
And of course, Biden is so into Ireland and like had worked so hard in his during his 4 years to like gain the Irish trust in America that like it will really show.
Yeah.
Especially with him being, so many groups being against him at the moment. Like,
I wonder, is Varadkar coming over to shake his hand and being like, oh, look, I've met with the Irish Taoiseach.
Yeah.
Will that be enough to motivate them? No.
Probably not. So, never
no.
was.
No.
The Stark mate never was.
That's really interesting.
It's more of a symbolic thing, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's completely symbolic.
Like, they're not there to discuss.
They're anything. There to take pictures mm-hmm. and shake pictures hands. And look how great how Ireland and the US Shamrock. Are. Yeah. Yeah, like, it's just, it's a bit of a suck up, really.
Yeah.
You would think that they'd do something for, like, do you know how they have parades and stuff for Paddy's Day? You'd think that they'd be doing something, like, to. Like different
yeah.
to like promote or not even promote just to make aware of what's
I wonder will I know do you I wonder will there be like some visual protest in Washington at the St. Patrick's Day Parade?
I hope so
because I feel like it would be the time for like a big protest to like hold up the entirety of it.
Yeah, and
that
you know
would
what?
Be fab.
That actually sounds really good.
That's well, we go on a flight now. Yeah. We'll make it in time. Yeah.
We'll anyway. Promote that on TikTok.
I think we're kind of running out of time at the moment. So for anyone who tuned in late, my name's Alice and I'm here with
Kira,
Caitlin,
and we're GovPol students talking on Paul Talk. And thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week at 10 a.m.
Bye.